And I said to him, man alive, what do you got all that meat on your sandwich? And he said, well, we're on food stamps now, so that's what they give us, and that's what we got to eat it up. It's amazing how that works, but I won't go into great detail. Let me give you another statement from the manual. Ministers must serve the needy with compassion, respect, and wisdom, avoiding the two extremes of excessive generosity or miserly frugality. And people define those differently as well, don't they? At the same time, ministers should consider biblical principles, biblical admonitions against laziness. God tells us that those who will not work, not those who cannot, those who will not work should not eat. But what always must be kept in mind is what is the need and what will be the result of the type of assistance that is going to be given both in the short term and in the long term. A couple of years after being given the responsibility, and I'll touch on a couple of things that led to this, it's partially my personality type, and I started analyzing the policy that we had, but I also got a call from a member whose mother was on member assistance and said, my mother should start receiving more money because that's what the government has updated some of their necessary expenses that they have listed on a website that you could find. Well, I went to that website and I found out that what they categorized as necessary expenses had nothing to do with need. It had to do with what people determined they needed to buy. And the ranges that were given were set up not for welfare, not for people in any need at all. That wasn't even touched on. Need, low income, poverty were not even dealt with in this chart. Instead, it was for people who had tax debt. And if the government stepped in and said, you have to pay for your debt to the IRS, they said, these are the limits that we will impose upon you. The reason being, we want you to pay your debt and maintain your current standard of living, whatever it is. And they included money that was above what probably most of us spend in different categories. If you earned this much money, this is how much they expected you to spend on food. If you earned this much money, they expected you to spend three times as much money on food. So need was not an issue. They also included money for things such as entertainment. But a lot of people without money don't spend money on. They go to the park instead of having cable TV. So there are a lot of things like that that made it evident to me that we needed to reevaluate our member assistance guidelines, procedures, and I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. That was one thing working at headquarters in Pasadena, and there are certain frames of mind about policies that some of you have probably dealt with in your professional experience. But one thing that always has stood out to me about United is the team efforts. And the policies are never developed by one person. Instead, they are developed using a team of individuals who are actually involved in the issues that that policy touches on. So we got a group of about 14 ministers out in the field who had 30, 35 years experience, intense experience, in member assistance, or what used to be called church assistance, but we changed the name to involve the more broader philosophy of that, and developed the guidelines. And as a result of that, one of the main things that we did see was the Council of Elders back in 1996 was asked questions about third tithe and Social Security, because in other countries, including Canada, some things are taken care of by the government automatically without any need to contribute because they tax everything else anyway. Well, with Social Security, there are things available out throughout the government, not always in an equitable manner, but the determination was made that because of members paying into Social Security tax that will later be paid back to them at some level in retirement and to help them with their financial needs, that is basically equivalent philosophically to third tithes. And so the Council of Elders did make a statement, and I'll just read it to you. Where governments provide programs, the intent and purpose of which is to provide for the needs of those that the biblical third tithe was designed to assist, and that there were such programs, and that such programs are funded by an annual rate of taxation greater than the biblical third tithe, members are not obligated to pay what amounts to an additional third tithe to the check to the church. So it was saying you're already paying more than third tithe, and that is what is tapped into. It will be by you and by members in need. So you can ascertain, you know, where you draw the line with your income. Well, what happened? We started getting less third tithe immediately. We stopped getting as much assistance being sent in because of the realization that, well, that's Social Security. But there was a different problem, and that was we weren't tapping into Social Security and different government programs as effectively as we could. So that was another issue addressed by the team, the task force, to develop the manual. And I'm very pleased to say that as a result of the new policy and the practice of seeking whatever government assistance is available, also providing more for the needs of the members by being more involved with them in delicate areas, some very sensitive, but with the responsibility of helping them develop in the godly way. As a result of that, over the past year, and this is in budgeting for future years, the church, in effect, has been able to save $65,000 annually for member assistance and still provide for those in need. So it's like if Uncle Sam has it, get it. Don't just tap into the church. And also deal with the philosophy that members may need assistance that goes beyond the financial aspect to help them in their long-term development as well. Now, here's a question. What would you say is the average U.S. credit card debt? Does anyone have any idea? Now, this is credit card debt. This has nothing to do with homes, has nothing to do with cards. It's just credit card debt. Yes, Steve? 20? Okay. 15?
I'd say about 4 or 5 per person.
4 or 5 per person? Okay. Well, according to the latest report, and this is from August 21st, they didn't clearly state where they obtained this information, but the average American households are on average $9,312 in credit card debt. $9,312. And that is $1,000 more than Americans owed in 2001. One columnist said, Americans are great consumers, but lousy savers. Also, something that some of you may have heard, the U.S. government is doing something about it, or may, and that is, right now, minimum credit card payments, which is what a lot of Americans pay, and including some who come for assistance, credit card companies, as a minimum payment, it's 2% usually of the amount owed. And here's some information. Okay, let's say there's a balance of $10,000. Let's say that your minimum monthly payment is 2%, which is pretty standard. This is from an article that I just got off the internet today. That means you will be paying just $200 a month. If we assume your annual interest rate is 13%, and there are definitely higher ones than that, aren't there? It will take you a whopping 33 years to pay off that bill. And that's if you accumulate no additional debt. Let's say I'm stopping right here, I'm not going to go in any more debt, I'm going to pay off this $10,000 within the next 33 years at the minimum amount. The total interest you pay for a $10,000 debt will be $11,450. A lot of people never even realize this. Now, if on another card with the same $10,000 balance, we'll assume that your monthly minimum is double the other card at 4%, with an identical annual percentage rate, this card will take you just 13 years to pay off the balance, and the total interest will be $3,660. Almost, about a third of what the other one is. It's amazing, and people don't realize it. They get what they want. They buy it. This is another thing. Now, what would you say is the average number of credit cards that the American family has? Average number of credit cards. Okay. Anybody else? Average, according to several reports I've read, 9 credit cards. And what people do is they find out, I can make this work. I can make this work. Here's another credit card offer. How many of you get credit card offers on a regular basis? Who doesn't? I got them in college for a gold American Express card. I almost wrote in, you know, annual income, $1,450. Let's see what they do with that. Yeah, probably. Well, one of the first lessons that it was the first lesson that I learned in financial management, which is one that needs to be taught to our members as well, especially those in difficulty, is to always live beneath your means. A lot are trained, always live within your means. But then that does not take care of any emergencies. It doesn't take care of any long-range planning. You always have to live beneath your means or you're not saving anything. And that's a very important lesson. Many that are in financial difficulties need to learn important lessons for their own financial well-being, if not for their children. Because I'm sure some of you have heard of individuals, including husbands or wives, who have died and have left incredible debt to their wives or their children as well. Now, one thing that is often used in determining needs is the Consumer Price Index. Well, I'm not going to go into detail, but I can tell you right now that the Consumer Price Index is ridiculous. The way that it is formulated is by surveying about 5,000 people over a two-month period, asking them to record everything they purchased. It has nothing to do with debt. It has nothing to do with income. It just is what they spent. That's all they have to do. And as we know, part of that is debt. Necessary expenses, necessary household expenses, as I mentioned before, are also a farce. Cost of living. Now, what does cost of living sound like to you? How much it costs to live, right? Survival. How much it will cost to live, not uncomfortably, but how much it will cost to live. That is not what it means at all. Unfortunately, that is the term that is used, and that is often supplied by ACRA. You've probably heard of ACRA. They usually determine the cost of living. You can get on the internet, and it tells you the cost of living and all these details. Let me just read you a definition of how that is determined. And this is from their manual. Oh. Okay, here it is. The question the ACRA Cost of Living Index is designed to answer is, in other words, this is their goal, this is their purpose, and this is what they answer. How do urban areas compare in the cost of maintaining a standard of living appropriate for moderately affluent professional and managerial households? The cost of living means affluent people, managerial, having a household income of $70,000. That's what cost of living is determined by. Expenses are determined only by the stores that they shop in. And they have a whole range of what will be used and what won't be used. It's for the affluent. That's what cost of living is all about. That's important to consider also, step back from. So what we do now is we do try to find out what is available from the government after determining needs more accurately, providing the help that the individuals need, both in comforting, because it's sensitive areas. We are trying to provide the assistance that will help them in the short term and in the long term, and try to find out how we can do it the most effectively, the most cost effectively, and effectively for the member. Okay, here's a lady who lives in a rundown mobile home. The floor is falling apart. The congregation got in touch with the home office and asked if they could have the funds to buy the lumber and the other things so that their spokesman club could do the job. What answer would you give? Well, yes. No. The answer was no. We didn't just say it like that. What we did was we tapped into what our experience had showed, and that was that there are a lot of community organizations, a lot of community projects that are done by the industry. And we had learned that all they had to do was go to their local Home Depot and to get in touch with the manager. And the pastor said, we have a lady in my congregation who is living in a rundown mobile home. She's on very low income. And it's my understanding that Home Depot does some community projects. So I wanted to ask you if there was a consideration for that. In every event that we have asked that question, the answer has been yes. We will provide all the materials free of charge. All we need is a letter from the pastor on the letterhead of the church stating what the need is, asking for the amount or what is needed, and we will provide it. And we get a tax write-off because we are an industry, you know, we are a business, and also we are serving our community. So that's something that we don't turn down, and it has to be looked into. And there are a lot of examples that I could give you. There are a lot of savings that people can tap into, both because of federal regulations. For instance, local phone service for $7 a month for those who have low income. And that can be either through a service organization or from federal government regulations on local phone companies. So we tap into everything that we can. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Now, we don't tap into all of them. And whenever anyone says, I've looked into everyone and there is no help available, in my mind, I have to say that is an impossibility because I can't say that I have looked into all of them. And we've had a team scouring government organizations, including people who work for welfare, one of whom is now a pastor. There are many of them. We do have on the website, actually, we have it on the UCG website so that members can tap into some of those resources and can look at a list. And often, as you know, on the internet, links tie into other links to look into things. Sometimes people need help in doing that, but I believe it's www.ucg.org/assistance. And it's one of the resources, I think, that pops down, too. From the manual again, the goal of the church's assistance program...